I'm blessed. I'm blessed. It's good. It's good to hear your voice. How's everything?
Everything is going very, very well. And listen, I am so appreciative of the time that you're giving me this morning. I am. I know you're busy.
This is my honor. It really is. And I'm thankful for the work you're doing. I'm thankful for our community and the chance to talk to have this conversation. So I appreciate you.
Awesome. I'm not going to take up a lot of your time. Of course, I'm Brian Pettaway with On Our News 1500 Radio's April Watch Live Show. And this morning, I'm honored to have gubernatorial candidate Wes Moore on the line. He has agreed to give us some of his time during this very, very busy election time. Now, the primaries are just 6 days away, the 19th. Is that correct, sir?
That is correct. Early voting is going on right now. So Wednesday and Thursday until 8 p.m. And then election day is going to be on the 19th.
That is great. That is great. And we've got April Watts out here pushing that early election. She's campaigning for that. But I'm going to be brief because I know you don't have a lot of time. And I just really want to get to the nuts and bolts of it. Now, I could read your resume, but it would take the entire 10 or 15 minutes that I have with you. I mean, you kind of done it all. But I just want to let people know that you have really, what you bring most for me to the table is hope and know-how. Your relatability with kids in the city of Baltimore is unbelievable if they know your story. You know, I know that you grew up with a single mom because of your unfortunate dad's early passing. And she was a single mom struggling like a lot in the city right now, raising kids and doing the best that she could. So your start was meager, if I'm correct. Is that correct?
Mm-hmm. That's right. And, you know, when I think about our communities, and I think this is a really important question, because the question needs to be asked to people who, particularly people who are running for elected office. And one thing I'm clear about, you know, I've been a public servant for my entire life. I just haven't been a politician. But the thing that I think is really important for people to understand is when we look at our communities, what do you see? Who do you see? And what I see when I look in our communities, I see my mom. I see my mom, who was an immigrant to this country, who, after my father died when I was almost 4 years old, was raising three children on her own and trying to navigate that. The same woman who didn't get her first job that gave her benefits until I was 14 years old.
Right.
Who do we see? I see my grandparents, my grandfather, who is a minister, my grandmother, who is a public school teacher for almost 40 years. These issues that we are working on, these issues that we've made a core part of our platform, they're not just important politically. They are, you know, I've lived this. And so I understand the sense of urgency that we have to move when it means things like creating a true 21st century education, making sure that our streets are safe. This is personal for me. And that's the type of campaign we're running, and that's the type of administration I'm going to have.
That is awesome. Well, I only really have three questions for you, two of which are issues very concerning to your potential Baltimore City's constituents, and issues that, honestly, Baltimore City citizens we're grading our leaders on these two things. So you ready?
Yes, sir.
Okay, so the first one is that violent crime in the city of Baltimore has left many of the citizens kind of afraid to enjoy the beauty that is Baltimore. And unfortunately, it's keeping some of the tourists from coming here and doing the same. So can you briefly tell our listeners what your strategy might be to help the mayor of the city with this problem?
Yeah, well, and I'm really glad you phrased it that way, because the mayor needs a partner. The city needs a partner. And frankly, we need a governor who understands that Baltimore is an integral and an important part of the state and doesn't talk about us with disdain. And so the things that we have to be able to do in partnership is, if we're talking about public safety, there are certain things that the state can uniquely do to be able to make our streets safer right now. So, for example, a third of all people who are involved in violent crime throughout our communities are people who in some way, shape, or form are in violation of parole and probation, right? So we know who the individuals are, but also oftentimes individuals who are returning back to communities and continuing to wreak havoc on communities. Here's the thing that we know. The Department of Parole and Probation, the mayor is not in charge of that, nor is any city councilperson. That's the state. The governor is responsible for the Department of Parole and Probation. So the fact that we have over 150 vacancies in DPP, that's something the governor can fix right now. The governor can also make sure we're investing in our violence interruption programs. We've got remarkable programs in our city, programs like Safe Streets, The Cure, We Are Us, Ceasefire, programs that are doing important work and are on the ground, because so much of the violence that we're seeing in our city, it's retaliatory by nature. Mm. But right now they're receiving no funding at all from the state. We Are Us receives not a dollar of funding from the state. So they're doing this work on their own. The state can help to address that. The state can also take state resources and put them on loan to the city of Baltimore. Things like homicide, you know, homicide detectives and CID. Because why that becomes so important is because there's such a low closure rate for homicides in the city of Baltimore, because so many of our homicide detectives are frankly just overburdened, overworked. And so you could actually take state resources, put them on loan to the city of Baltimore to decrease the workload and increase the closure rate. But what it takes is you need to have a governor who is focused on being a partner and is the only Baltimorean in this race. Everyone else is from another part of the state. As the only Baltimorean in this race, I'm someone who, when we talk about Baltimore, I don't need a brief. Right. I don't need someone to explain to me where the neighborhoods are. These are my communities, right? My wife and I are raising our children here in Baltimore. And so we take a different type of approach and a different type of urgency when it comes to public safety.
Awesome. Well, I'm not understanding why we're not getting the funding. I don't understand why we're not getting more federal funding, but I mean, that's your thing. I'm sure you'll bring some of that to the state and to the city. The next question I have, sir, is Baltimore City public school system. Now, it's embroiled in scandal right now, and now that scandal has become nationwide with the lawsuit from Benjamin Crump. Now, we know that education failures to our youth heightens crime statistics, right? So what you do, or what do you think that you'll be able to do, again, helping the mayor with this problem and our Baltimore public school system?
Yeah, and I love this question too, particularly because all these issues are interrelated, right? When we're talking about what's happening with our education system, it's impossible to understand what's happening with public safety in our communities without understanding what's happening with our education system, right? Because, you know, when you're seeing someone entering to a criminal justice system, oftentimes there have been multiple systems that have failed them. And for far too many of our students in Baltimore City, that includes our education system. And so we need to understand that the state has to be a full partner in that. Now, I worked hard with legislators for years on the Blueprint for Maryland's Future, a groundbreaking piece of legislation that's focused around helping schools and helping education in our state. I very proudly testified on it. And I'm going to make sure that from Annapolis, from our seat in Annapolis, we are going to make sure that it is fully funded and that it's going to benefit our children in Baltimore and our educators and our families in Baltimore. And so what does that mean? It means we are going to make sure that we have free pre-K for every child in this state, that we are going to start earlier by getting all of our children in need, get them in a free pre-K environment, and also fix a broken childcare system that we have, because one of the biggest challenges we have is students aren't starting early enough. Also have to ensure that we're supporting our educators and our paraeducators and providing real pathways for both of them to stay in the profession, and then also creating new pipelines to get new educators in our profession. We've got remarkable institutions of higher education. There's no reason why we should have a pipeline problem of educators into our schools. We also have to focus on things like mental health supports, both for children and also for educators. And we have to focus on things like apprenticeship programs and trade programs. I think we made a swing too far in another direction when we started evaluating high schools based on things like four-year college acceptance rates. That's not a benchmark. We have to make sure that we're getting not just educational, but economic pathways for all of our students. And whether that means they go on to be a beautician, whether that means they go on to be an iron worker or a pipe fitter, or teaching our students how not just to be employees, but how to be employers. We have to completely rethink what it means to be able to provide long-term economic and long-term educational pathways for our students. And that also means investing in things like 21st century schools, making sure we're focusing on dental care and eye care and the high propensity of students who go to school with asthma. So we have to think holistically about what does it mean to create an educational system that's preparing our students and preparing our children for not just now, but also for the future.
You know, one of the things I never hear.
And I'll say one more thing too about that. And I'm proud of the fact that our campaign was endorsed by Maryland's teachers. And so Maryland's teachers put their faith and confidence in our campaign to be the right kind of partner that we need in order to advance these issues.
All right. Well, I wanted to mention one thing to you, and it's something that you said that I really appreciate. You know, when I was coming up in Baltimore, Mergenthaler and Carver, Votech were very important schools. They taught trade, and you had an option to either go to one of those schools to learn a trade. But with IT so important now and such a popular career path, those vocational schools have kind of fallen by the wayside. And I'm trying to figure out how. I mean, they're still very important. We still need AC. We still need electric. We still need things like that. And they are very sustainable careers and good money making careers. And I'm trying to figure how do we fund those schools and bring those back to the forefront of the community.
Man, I think the fact that, you know, we shouldn't and will not be having any conversation about the importance of Mervo or the importance of any of our tennis schools, because you're right. They didn't just play an important part of our history. They play an important part of our future. Right. And so you're absolutely right. We have to invest, because here's the thing that we know, right? If for everybody's in their house right now, if your heat goes out, right? You're not, there's no app you can push. You know what I mean? There's no one who you're calling overseas. That's not getting outsourced. That's not getting outsourced, right? We need someone who has the skills who can come to the house right now and fix your heat.
Make it happen.
Right? Or air conditioning. Who can make it happen right now? I there's no app I can push for that, right? So we have to ensure that those type of skills are in place. Now, we do want to make sure that we are investing in things like STEM education and investing in all the and technical education and technology for all of our students. I'm very proud of the fact that my running mate, Delegate Aruna Miller, who is remarkable. She's a deeply respected legislator out of Montgomery County. She's a transportation and a civil engineer by training. And some of the legislation that she pushed when she was a member of the Maryland General Assembly were for things like making sure that all students could get STEM education. All students are making sure that they're getting science and technology and preparing them for jobs that are available. And all those things are important. But we cannot forget that there are certain technical jobs and technical training that we are always going to need in our society. And we have to make sure that there are pipelines for our students to be able to achieve them. Absolutely. And so the joy of places like Mervo, et cetera, that's not of the past. That's not a relic. We are going to invest. We're going to invest in our technical schools. We are going to invest and make sure that we're getting technical training in all of our schools. So that is a very much a core part of our future.
That is awesome. That's exactly what a lot of our listeners want to hear. And the last question, listen, you've kind of done it all. You're an author, a successful author, an entrepreneur, a successful entrepreneur, a television producer. You are a combat veteran. I mean, you've kind of done it all, right? Like I said, your resume reads like a movie. So the question that I have for you is, with all of that and all the money that you could be making in the private sector, I mean, you could be making millions for yourself in the private sector, honestly, and live the quote unquote American dream. I mean, you've earned it. What is the reason that you want to take on such a position that's kind of thankless in praise and money, and it's so challenging? Some would say it kind of almost like a no-win situation. What makes you want to do something like that? What's the motivation?
You know, my entire life has been littered with the consequences of bad policies. You know, when I watched my father die in front of me because he didn't get the health care that he needed. Mm-hmm. You know, I first felt handcuffs on my wrists when I was 11 years old, because I came up in neighborhoods that were just chronically over-policed. And I watched my mother not get her first job that gave her benefits until I was 14 years old. And by the way, this is a woman with a master's degree. And so when we're talking about inequitable pay between men and women, or inequitable pay between people of color and non, like, this isn't an academic exercise to me. I don't need a white paper for someone to explain it to me. I've seen this personally, firsthand. And I knew at a young age that I was going to devote the rest of my life to public service. And that's what I've done. Whether it was leading soldiers in combat as a member of the United States military, I led soldiers in Afghanistan, or came back and had a successful small business here in Baltimore where we were helping first generation students, helping make it to and through college. Or when I was the CEO of one of the largest poverty fighting organizations in America. But the thing that I know is this: if we are not fixing systems, the systems that continue to allow our children and our families fall between the cracks, if we aren't fixing systems that continue to allow our children to attend schools where they cannot drink from the water fountains, or have people who do not have transportation that can move them from where they live to where they work, then we will just constantly find ourselves cleaning up the debris that comes from broken systems. And so I'm in this race for governor right now. I am not a career bureaucrat. I have not been spending the past 40 years of my life running for office, right? The things that I've done, I've been in the community working on these issues. I've led large organizations working on these issues. And the thing that we know right now is we don't have time for either small politics or small policies. We don't have time for the same people whose hands are all over the problems now claim that they can uniquely fix the problems.
Right.
And waiting for them to solve the problems.
Right.
So that's why I'm running. That's why I'm doing this work, because I know in this moment we've got a generational opportunity to fix these generational challenges. And that's why I'm in this work. And we are not going to leave anybody behind.
Well, I appreciate that. We all appreciate it. I appreciate your time this morning. Like I said, I'm not going to hold you too much, but I know it's a critical time for you in this race. Again, we want to get everybody aware of the election day, which is July 19th. That's just 6 days from now. But you, like you said, you can get in your early voting. And any last things you want to say to us, sir?
No, the only thing I say is how much I appreciate everybody. And listen, let's be clear. We're a front runner in this race. Let's be clear. If we do what we need to do, if our community stands up, we are going to win this race. And so I'm asking everybody to take this election personally. Don't just go out and vote. Go get your family. And don't go get your family. Go get your block. Don't go get your block. Go get your neighborhood. Take this moment personally. Because if we do that, we are going to win. We are a front runner, and it is our time that we prioritize and really think about the policies that are impacting our lives and what could a powerful and a bold future look like. We are going to leave nobody behind.
Well, that is awesome. Well, listen, 1500 Radio, really appreciate your time this morning. Our listeners really appreciate your time this morning. And I certainly appreciate you talking to me. You have an amazing day, and we'll be looking for you and rooting for you on the 19th.
Bless you, and I appreciate your leadership. Thank you so much.
You're very welcome. Take care, sir.
You too now. God bless.
You too. Bye-bye.